good.
Amen.
David said this. He said, I rejoiced at your word as one who struck it rich. You know, that tells me he had his priorities right. Didn't he? He had his priorities right. He said, listen, the word of God, man, this is like hitting the lottery. You know, remember Mary and Martha? Jesus came over to visit, and Mary sat down to hear the word, didn't she? And there was a lot to do in the house. And Martha got mad, didn't she, at her sister Mary, because Mary was just sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing the word, and Mary was mad. There was so much to do. How many of you know, especially coming into summertime, there's so much to do. So much to do. We only get a certain amount of good days around here, and this kind of weather. And Jesus didn't say, Mary, you know what? We're really busy, and there's more important things to do. Go help your sister. No, he actually rebuked Martha, didn't he? Martha, Martha, Martha. What, wasn't there like a Brady Bunch with Marcia, 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 or something like that? I think, if I'm remembering right. And he said, Martha, why are you so troubled and worried? He said, Mary's done the right thing. So you're doing the right thing this morning, submitting yourself to the Word of God and putting yourself in a place to hear the Word of God, and you'll only get blessed for doing so. Amen? Well, we'll go to Mark chapter 4. We're going to finish up our series today. Mark chapter 4. Excuse me. On the parable of the sower. Of course, we were interrupted last week with our Easter victory message, but that was a good interruption.
Amen.
That was a good interruption. And of course, we've been looking at the parable of the sower, and if you don't know anything about it, just let me kind of give you a quick update. Basically, I'm about to read what I'm going to kind of give you the key of what's going on here before I read it, is Jesus says the word goes forth, and it falls onto different people. It calls people soil, or says it's basically talking about your heart. And it says that four people, types of people hear the word of God. And what's amazing out of this, as you'll see when we read this, is that 75% or three-fourths of people that hear the word don't get anything out of it. Isn't that sad? We know the thing is, it's not the Bible's fault. This is the incorruptible seed. The Bible says that the word is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It can drive out sickness and disease. It can drive out poverty. The word is so powerful. But the soil needs to be good, doesn't it? It doesn't matter how good seed we have. If we go throw it on the pavement out there, we're not going to get much of a harvest. And so we need to make sure our hearts are good. And today we're going to look at probably the most important message of the four different grounds, the good ground, so we can look at what does it mean to be good ground. But in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard the word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves and endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. So that's the verse we're going to stick on today is verse 20 and look at the good ground. And I want to make sure that we ask God for help. It seems to go a lot better when we ask Him for help and ask Him for utterance. So let's pray real quick. Father, we come to You just humble this morning in awe of You, Father, but we also come with boldness, expecting to receive. Father, You said we can show up with boldness. It's not arrogance. It's not pride. It's not cockiness. It's an idea of knowing that we belong and we're accepted by You. And so, Father, because of that, we're not here to waste our time this morning. We're not here to play church. Father, the world is too crazy and the devil's running the show for us to come here and waste 45 minutes on a Sunday morning. No, Lord, we need to hear the word. We need to hear from heaven. Speak to our hearts this morning. And Father, I ask that You touch every single person's heart in here, that You'd speak something specific to their life and their situation and their circumstances. And Father, when that happens, it'll be undeniable. They'll know You're speaking directly to them. And Father, when that happens, Lord, I thank You, Father, that they will recognize that it's You that love them, that it's You that cares for them, that You're interested in their life and that You want to help them with what they're going through. So Father, we thank You this morning for the good things we're about to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, verse 20 says, these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. One translation says, well, not one translation, it's Luke's version. I believe it's Luke. It's either Luke or Matthew. I get the three of them confused sometimes. But one of them says that that they not only hear the word and receive it, but they keep the word. And we're going to look at what that means today. But I want to just point out real quick before we get going into this is that the Bible says that the thing that matters about if you bear fruit or not has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with really the preacher, except the preacher needs to sow the word, but it has everything to do with what kind of ground you are. Amen? What does that mean? That your ability to bear fruit, what is bearing fruit? You know what bearing fruit is? It means walking into all the blessings and experiencing what God has actually said that you can have in his word. Things like salvation, of course, peace, victory, joy, prosperity. And again, don't let that word prosperity trip you up. We're talking about having a full supply and enough left over to be a blessing. We're talking about being able to be generous and to have the ability to be generous to our not only our families, but also the ministries and things God's put on our heart. And walking in divine health and not being struck with fear and struck with worry. That's bearing fruit. And notice that the thing that causes it to bear fruit is up to you, what kind of ground that you are. And it's amazing to me, and it just is so mind-boggling that 75% of people that hear the word don't get anything out of it. And so the interesting thing is it's not just the fact that you just showed up, because 3/4 of these people showed up. It's not just the fact that you're in a Bible-teaching church. 3/4 of these people heard the word of God. But the 1/4, and even within the 1/4, the 30, the 60, and the 90, they did something different than everybody else. So let's make sure we do something different. Even if you missed all the previous weeks of this series, or if you've forgotten already, let's just look at what good ground is today and endeavor to start being good ground and doing what good ground is. Hallelujah. This is really kind of where the rubber meets the road for your life, even having an opportunity to be blessed. Because without this, this is foundational stuff here. That is, to go forward, if you want a new life, you want things to be different, this has to be your foundation. This has to be the line in the sand for you, so to speak. This has to be, this is it for me, I'm not turning back. From this day forward, I'm endeavoring to do something different with my life. I had someone in service last night, on the verge of tears in the service. And, you knew it was just ministering right to their heart. And they texted me after and they said, this is it now. There are no other options now. I'm going all in. And so you'll see that today, what I mean. But what does it mean to be good ground? What does that look like? Like, how do we even do that? Well, go to James chapter 1 and verse 21. I'm going to show you today. And we'll get into things. We'll get rolling. I'll probably be screaming before you know it. And I know I'm putting you to sleep right now, and you're a little bit bored, but don't worry. I'll get fired up. It just seems to happen. Don't intend for it to happen, but I know I'm really getting fired up when there's literally times I feel like my head's going to fall off. Like, I just feel like, poop, it's going to come right off. And so, anyways, glory to God. We'll see here the word, and we'll get going on this. And it's not something I try to do on purpose. It's just I get excited about this stuff. This stuff will change your life. Amen. And so I want you to know it's real. James chapter 1 and verse 24 says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." I love that word, naughty. Don't be naughty, right? God's telling you, don't be naughty. "And receive with meekness the engrafted word." Now look at this. "Which is able to save your souls." Now this was already written to Christians. The book of James was not written to the unsaved people. It was written to Christians. So when it says souls, it's not talking about heaven or hell. It's talking about soul, your mind, will, and emotion. The thing that's good. Your mind is what's going to cause you to walk into victory or not victory. Because if you think wrong, you'll talk wrong. If you talk wrong, you'll have wrong. That's what I was talking about in the offering. If you don't think that you're rich, you won't talk like you're rich. And if you don't talk like you're rich, you won't live like you're rich. It's just the way it works. And so the Bible's saying this is the ability. The word has the ability to transform and to save and to change things. But look what it says in verse 22. "But," there's that big old hind end again, right? "But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So there it is. You want to know what being good ground is? Yes, being good ground is being in a position to hear the word. Yes, being in good ground is showing up. Those things are important. But when you show up, when you hear the word, being good ground is walking out of these doors Sunday afternoon till Sunday morning, being a doer of what you heard. And when you are a doer of what you heard, fruit gets produced in your life. It's when people let it go in one ear and out the other, don't ever endeavor to change, don't ever have any intention of doing anything different. Those are the people that fall in the category of 75%. And why the heck would we want to be in that group? Why would you want to live life not bearing fruit? If we have to be down here, we might as well be down here in victory. We might as well be down here in peace. We might as well be down here in joy. We might as well be down here in financial well-being. We might as well be down here in health. If we got to go through this life, let's do it with a smile. Let's do it with some victory. Well, be ye doers of the word. When you're a doer of the word, you're keeping the word, and you'll bring forth fruit. Verse 23, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For when he beholds himself or looks at himself, he goes his way and straightway or immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But, verse 25, whoever or whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty. Oh, I love that. And continues therein. Everybody say continues therein. Continues therein. Glory to God. See, sometimes people, and I don't know why we think this, if you plant a garden, you don't walk out there the next day and walk in kicking the dog, kicking the cat, and getting all mad that the harvest hasn't come up yet. But people, when it comes to doing the word, they'll stick with it for a little bit, and they don't see the changes that the pastor's talking about, and they abandon the whole thing, and they uproot, and boom, there's no chance for a harvest at all. No, you got to get planted and then keep getting watered. The word will keep watering you. And over time, if you continue therein, that's why the Bible says in Galatians, it says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So there's going to be opportunities to faint. There's going to be opportunities to quit. There's going to be opportunities to not continue in being a hearer and a doer. Notice you have to be a hearer and a doer, not just a hearer. And so there's going to be opportunities to faint, but the Bible promises you. That's why I love, and I think it's Matthew or Luke's rendition of the parable of the sower. They say, here's the word, keeps the word with perseverance and patience. Because it takes time to cultivate your life. It takes time to dig out the bad, put the good in, and then see the harvest. But if you'll stick with it, things will start changing. It says, so not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Notice this, this man. Shall be blessed in his deed. The only way you're going to be blessed in your deed is by being a doer of the word. Glory to God. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. I'm going to help you today quite a bit. It'll be a blessing to you. Genesis 12. Now, this is what I want you to know about the word. When you come out of the world, especially if you're brand new to this stuff, when you come out of the world, and even as a Christian, we get so lazy sometimes in the world. If we're not careful, the world will penetrate us, and we'll become just as worldly as anybody else. Now, there's fun things to do in the world. I'm talking about the negative things in the world that don't bring us harvest. I'm not here to tell you that sometimes doing the word is not a challenge. It is a challenge sometimes. When you come out of the world, man, your mind is geared towards certain things. Your flesh is geared towards certain things, and the word will come in and totally change it and just kind of upset the apple cart, so to speak, you know, and say, listen, the Bible says if you want to be blessed, live a holy life. You know, the Bible says if you want to be blessed financially, do this with your money. The Bible says if you want your faith to work, you're going to have to forgive. You know, sometimes the word challenges us to go against what our mind wants to do and what our flesh wants to do. But that's where the word will keep us safe. Don't follow your mind. Don't follow your flesh. Follow what the word says. And so I'm not telling you that the word's not difficult, but what I am going to get over to you today and encourage you with is no matter what the word says, do the word. Don't question the word, because sometimes people question it. Lord, how can I do this? I don't know if I'm able to do this. Don't question God. And I'm going to give you the key today that will help you never to question him ever again. But Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1 says this. Now the Lord said unto Abram. Now Abram was eventually, his name was changed to Abraham. Notice what he said to him. Now, this is really the first real big mention of Abraham in the Bible. Verse 11 does mention him in a genealogy type thing, but this is kind of really where Abraham comes on the scene here. It said, the Lord said unto Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Notice what he's telling Abraham. Abraham, get up and leave everything you know and everything you're comfortable with and go to a land, not that I'm already showing you, not that I already have your house set up, already got the lawn manicured, already got the furniture in there. Go to a land that I'll show you. Basically say, leave everything you know that's comfortable and just start walking. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you would have been like, and start walking there? How many of you? Or how many would have been, oh, Lord, but wait a second, God. You need to have the house ready for me. You need to at least tell me the town I'm going to. Lord, but people are going to be mad at me. People are going to be offended. This is a hard thing to do. Yeah. Look what Abraham did. Well, look at verse 2 first. It says, and is a conjunction. It means it goes along with what was just said. And if you do that, now notice this, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. Think about what blessing is, what encounter. Blessing is peace, prosperity, joy, victory, health. All those things encompass blessing. I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless them that curse you. I will curse him that curses you, and in you all families of the earth will be blessed. So the Lord is saying, do my word. On the other side of the door of doing the word is such a tremendous blessing. Your blessing is just on the other side of you walking through obedience. Did you know that? Your blessing is walking through obedience. And it's not easy sometimes. I'm not here to tell you it's going to be easy, but what I am going to hear to tell you is, listen, don't ever question the word. Don't ever question God. Just be a doer of the word. And verse 4 says, so Abram fretted. He complained. He argued with God. He waited 2 weeks to obey. He waited a month to obey. He waited a year to obey. No. God spoke, and Abraham went, didn't he? God spoke, and Abraham went. And we know, if you study the life of Abraham, how blessed he was. He is like Hall of Fame type dude here. What do I mean by that? Like, in the baseball, he's like Babe Ruth kind of Hall of Fame kind of guy. There's a lot of people in the baseball Hall of Fame. You know, people that maybe you might not even know who I'm talking about. You know, I could say the name like Kirby Puckett or Paul Molitor or just different names. And a lot of you might not know. But if I say Babe Ruth, listen, everyone knows and probably at least have heard at least of the candy bar. Right? I mean, you at least know who Babe Ruth is. That's who Abraham is. God cut covenant with Abraham. The genealogy of Jesus Christ came through Abraham. David came through Abraham. Isaac came through Abraham. Jacob came through Abraham. God said, you're my man. I'm cutting covenant with you. And God used him mightily, and he was blessed. Well, we get a picture of why he was so blessed. He never questioned God. He never stopped to Lord, I don't know. Now, you know why people don't obey God's word? I'm going to tell you why people don't obey God's word. Listen, when I talk about tithing, okay, some people think, oh, you're so money-minded to talk about tithing. Did you know tithing never had anything to do with money? Now, it's the money that you bring, and it's 10%. But tithing has always been an honor issue, not a money issue. Yeah. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, honor the Lord with your first fruits in your substance. Honor him. Yeah. Honor him. It's an honor issue. The Bible says your treasure is attached to your heart. It's a heart thing. It's not a financial thing, and people that dumb it down to a financial thing are the ones that have a problem with it. The ones that get testy with it, the ones that won't do it, the ones that get mad when the preacher talks about it. Listen, that's an honor problem. You got issues if you have a problem with the tithing message. Because the Bible says it's an honor thing with God. My heart is attached to my giving because that's the one way the Lord says, I can see your heart by your giving. Amen? And so when I talk about tithing, don't get into the money ditch. But when I talk about being a doer of the word when it comes to tithing, the reason I do that is because, number one, it's the word of God and a blessing, but it's an easy, tangible way to see, am I doing the word or am I not doing the word? That's the only reason I bring it up. It's not because money's the most important. It's just one easy way, and I'll be honest with you, the number one thing that people sit down with me, call me about, write on their blue cards, sit across from me is money problems. Without a doubt, it is the absolute number one thing. It's the number one thing Pastor Tim has. It's the number one thing Pastor Michael tells me about. It's the number one thing that the pastors, when I go over to California, they say the number one issue that people have is money issues. So that's why I talk about it a lot. Because the more I talk about it, the more people will be helped. Amen? Hallelujah. But let's think about tithing for a second and doing the word. Why don't people tithe? Because it's beyond me why you wouldn't. Because the word tells us that when you tithe, I'll open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to receive. So the word promises you that if you do this, the result will be increase. The result will be overflow. The result will be more than enough. It's not God taking from you. It's God trying to get more into you than you've ever had before, because it takes care of the house of God. And anytime you take care of the house of God, he doesn't forget about you. But why don't people do it? Because they think, I can't live. The thought of departing with that 10% scares the living daylights out of people. It absolutely frightens people. They think about what they're going to make in a whole year, and they take 10% of that, and they say, there's just no way I could do that. And fear has gripped them. Yet the word says the whole time, if you'll release that thing, increase will come into your life. Amen? And so why don't people do that? And it comes with everything doing the word. Why will people take jobs that God never led them to do, but because it produces more money, yet they disobey God? Why do they do that? Because they're so afraid, and money's their supply, different things like that. Why won't people do different things in the word of God? They're afraid. You know what it boils down to? They don't trust God. Yeah. I told you that book, His Goodness, that I wrote. I have had major, major faith victories in my life through God, all because of him, just doing the word. None of that belief and faith and victory in him would have ever come without the principles of that book being buried down inside of me. Without first of all knowing that God is good. Without first of all knowing that God loves me and cares about me. If I don't know that stuff, I don't have any foundation for faith. What do you mean? Well, let me show you a verse real quick in 1 John 4 and verse 18. Are you ready for the answer? Why won't people dive in? Why won't people come to church every single week, especially in the summertime? Now, I'm not talking about vacations. I'm talking about the mindset of putting something before God, and you understand what I'm talking about. I always make sure to clarify that. I understand people do things and things come up. I'm talking about this mindset of God's going to be second, because they fear they're missing out if they put God first. They're afraid missing out. Praise God, it's true. I'm going to show you something. 1 John 4:18, it'll help you. 1 John 4 and verse 18 says this: there's no fear in love, but perfect. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because the Lord said the number one reason, this is what he said to me, the number one reason people don't do my word is because they're afraid, they don't trust me. That's what he said in my heart. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. Now, here it is. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Or you could say it this way: he that is ever in fear has not been made perfect in love. Well, this is what you need to know. It's 1 John in verse 4 says that, in another place, says that God is what? Love. God is love. Bible says when you're in fear, you've not been made perfect in love. What does that mean? The reason people that don't tithe, again, it's just an easy one to look at. You could throw in anything there of doing the word, is because they've not been made perfect in love. Because they don't believe and they don't trust God enough that when he says, if you'll do this, I'll bless you. Instead, they have in their mind, I can't live without this. You are basically saying, God, you're steering me wrong, and if I do this, I'm actually going to be in a worse place financially. You've not been made perfect in love. You know, the Lord told me back when I was 23, told me to go to Rhema, and so I did. And he told, actually, I would have been 22 at the time. In 2002, I heard an audible voice of God in a service in Fredonia during a salvation call. This was shortly after I had given my life to Jesus, and then I had finally, you know, I was, of course, afraid of China and Africa. You know, I know the story. And I settled that in my heart, and I told the Lord I'd go to China or Africa. He said, listen, I didn't want you to go there. I just wanted you to be willing. I said, that's great. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. Don't want to go there ever. And I don't even want to go hunting in Africa. If you win a trip and you want to give it to me, don't give it to me. Give it to someone else. Praise the Lord. I don't even want to go hunting there. I just want to stay in the good old United States of America. Praise the Lord. I'm just a homebody, that's why. Actually, I'd just rather just stay at my house all the time. Let's just start having church at my house. That way I don't have to go anywhere, and I just stay there. Caleb is so funny. He is so my kid. You know what he says? We'll be like, buddy, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese. No, I want to stay home. Buddy, let's go do something fun. No, I just want to stay home. He's just like me. Just let me stay here. I'm having fun here, praise God. But anyways, he told me to go, and then when I surrendered to him, he said, go to Rhema. I heard that audibly in a voice in Fredonia. The heads were bowed, eyes are closed, and I heard the voice of God say, go to Rhema. Well, I thought everybody heard it. I thought somebody shouted that out. I popped my head up and looked around, and nobody Everybody's heads were bowed and eyes were closed. The hair on my body was standing up and tears were rolling down my eyes because I knew I heard from God. Well, I did. I went to Rhema in 2003 of February. And I knew I wasn't supposed to just go there for camp meeting. I went there to see Kenneth Hagin's last Winter Bible Seminar. We didn't know it at the time. It was his last. Turned out to be. And then in the fall, I ended up going to Rhema. Now, this is what you have to understand about me going to Rhema. That was obeying the voice of God. Now, let me just say this. If I don't do that, I don't have the family that I have today. I know that in my heart clear. I do not have two churches. I do not have the blessings in my life. I do not have a book and another book that's on the way and things like that and all the things that are helping people. Everything started just like Abraham when God spoke to him, told him the word. So you have to understand the word comes in two forms. It comes in the written word, do whatever you hear in here, and do whatever he says in your heart. Always do the word of God. And so the Lord told me that. Now, I had been meditating on God and who he was and how good he was. Now, you have to understand, for me to go to Rhema was not a small thing. I was 23 years old. I had just come off a two-year span of having 26 jobs in 2 years. Five different colleges and a bunch of other different things that you don't even need to know about. Because who would want to know about all that? But 26 jobs, we were laughing on the way home. Courtney went to service with me last night, and we were laughing about the 26 jobs I had in 2 years. I was so not a person of character or integrity, I would either just not show up when I got hired, or I'd go for a day. I can't tell you how many times I had her, I know it was at least three, had her call in and tell the person that Grandma died again. Grandma died like three times. And she, I know, that. Listen, before Jesus, I didn't know the Lord. Don't cast your stones yet. I didn't know Jesus. And at least three times, I remember there was a place called the Bagel Company in Jamestown. I don't even know why I applied there, but I got hired there. I didn't want to go. I said, you need to call him and tell him Grandma died. And they did. So he can't come in. Grandma's dead. So Grandma's up in heaven, probably really mad at me, but she really helped me get out of some things back then. And she was alive and well during the whole time. But that's what I said. And 26 jobs in 2 years, five different colleges, different things. Told my family I wanted to be a professional fisherman in Alaska because they made good money. I had idea after idea. And you know what's funny is when I was a kid before school, now Caleb must get this as well. It's not for me like this anymore, but I used to love to watch myself in the mirror. Like, I'd stand there with my baseball bat and just watch my swing and, ooh, yeah, that looks good. And, you know, wow, that looks, my uniform looks nice. That's the way I used to be. And Caleb just loves to look at himself in the mirror. He just thinks it's the neatest thing. Well, I was standing in front of the mirror at my house, and my mom had two hanging towels on there. And I moved them off to the side in the morning before school. And I'd stand there, and I'd talk to her and just be, you know, my cocky little self when I was a kid. And she'd say, what do you want to do? Because the school counselors keep calling me and telling me, all you're telling them is that you're going to be a Major League Baseball player. I said, well, that's what I'm going to be. I don't need to worry about anything else. I'm going to play in the pros, Mom. Mom, look at my swing. I mean, can't you see it's going to happen? She said, well, you need to pick something. And you know what I said? When I was a 16-year-old boy, this is what I said to her. And I was kidding, and I was sarcastic, and I was being a smart aleck. I said, I'm going to be a preacher. That's what I said to her. Back then, when I was 16 years old, she tells me about this day. Because I thought, you know what they do? They work one day a week, and they pass the bucket around. People put money in it for them, and they leave with the offering. That's what I thought being a pastor was. And so I said back then, I'm going to be a preacher. So then when I really told my family after 26 jobs in 2 years, I just heard the voice of God told me to go to Oklahoma and be a preacher. Can you imagine the eye rolls that I got? Can you imagine the stares? But why I'm bringing this up is because they didn't offer me a penny to help me, and they shouldn't have. And so me going to Rhema, you talk about obeying the voice of God. 23 years old, I had enough money for 1 month of living. I knew nobody down at that school. It was an 18-hour drive. I had a 1990 Nissan pickup with almost 200,000 miles, holes and rust in it. One time, Pastor Tim was over, and I made a snowball. This is how bad the truck was. And I threw that snowball, and it didn't stop. It went right through the truck. That's how rusty and how bad it was. And that's what I took to Rhema. No money, no furniture, didn't know anybody, just God told me to go. I've learned that when God speaks, I go. When God speaks, I go and do things because there's a blessing there. But what I'm trying to bring up is that when I got there, I didn't know anybody, and I knew I needed to get a job. I mean, it wasn't an easy thing for me is what I'm trying to say. 23 years old, didn't know a thing about anything. But I knew that God is good and that he would never steer me wrong. and then I knew that it wasn't working out my own way. Aren't you tired of doing it your own way? I mean, why can't people wake up and see, you know what, the way I'm doing is failing? You'd be amazed at the people that for years have heard me preach on tithing. They're still struggling financially. I'll sit across from them, and they'll tell me how afraid they are to tithe. I say, listen, what do you have to lose? You can't pay your bills now. You're broke now. Just dive in and give it all you got. Glory to God. Just be a doer of the word. Do you know how many times and hours and minutes I missed out when I was a little kid? I was such a chicken. And one of the reasons I named Caleb Caleb is because Caleb in the Bible had a spirit of faith. And for some reason, I was always afraid. I mean, I was to the point of torment. I always thought somebody was going to break into our house. I always thought the house was going to burn down in the middle of the night. I just was, and it sounds kind of funny, but I was terrified. Just all the time as being, I'd go to the playground and just have a fear of being kidnapped. I mean, this stuff would just mess with me. The devil was just tormenting me back then. And I don't want my son to be that way. Another thing is, and why I'm bringing that up, is I'd go to a swimming pool. And all the kids would be swimming, and there'd be little old Chicken Mike dipping his toes. And, oh, it's too cold. I can't go in there. You know, you get halfway in, and you run out real quick, and it's like, oh. And then you know what I learned is when I would dive in and get used to it, I could start enjoying all the fun that I had. But you know what? I missed out on the first hour of free pool time. Or I missed out on whatever, how many times of the birthday party when I'm off on the side and everybody else is cannonballing in and having fun. That's the way Christians are. They're sitting on the sidelines. You're watching everybody else have fun. Listen, I'm here to tell you, everybody I know that dives in headfirst with God does never regret it. They live so blessed. They live so peacefully. They live so full of joy. They just dive right in. But most Christians are on the sidelines just tiptoeing in the water. And it's so cold. Listen, you know when you enjoy it the most is when you just get it over with. Just dive in once and for all. Get it over with. It's not that scary. Once you get in the water, you're like, wow, this ain't that bad. And you start swimming around having fun, right? Pray. That's the way it is with the word. And people that won't do the word that dive in, they're afraid. They're afraid. If I give my life to God, I'm going to miss out. No, you're not. You have not got the revelation then. So you need to go back to the drawing board. You need to go back to the revelation that God is good and will never steer you wrong. You think he put the tithing message in here to make you broke? He sent you Jesus. I mean, I don't know if you know that or not. He sent you Jesus. So he's going to tell you to do something that's going to make you worse off? You think he put in there to forgive people because he's trying to make your life miserable? No, he's trying to bless you. You think he put in there walk in love to the unlovable and the people that persecute and do wrong to you? You think he put that in there to make your life miserable? No, he did it because it would bless you. It'd bring increase to your life. You think he said, come to church, get under a pastor, be faithful so he can waste your Sunday mornings, so he can waste your midweek because there's something more important out there to do? No, because he knows it's the best thing for you. But see, you're not perfected in love. You don't have a revelation of him. When you have a revelation of him, you will do whatever he says because you know he'll never steer me wrong. He'll never take me down the wrong path. He only is good. He only wants the best for me. Hallelujah. Praise God is right. Hallelujah. He is so faithful and so kind. There's a couple at the Jamestown church. They have like, I don't know, like a dozen kids. It's not that much, but it's a lot. And that was me being sarcastic, but they have a lot. And back when I was the associate pastor there, they didn't have as many kids as they have now, but they still had a handful. And they were looking for a bigger house because they didn't have what they were living in could not meet what they had. And the Lord told them they were saving up, and they had gotten, I believe it was some kind of a small inheritance check. Now, when I say small, you know, I say small. $14,000 is not small to me, but sometimes people get hundreds of thousands of dollars left to them and things. But they had $14,000 for a down payment on a house. And you know what the Holy Ghost told them? The Holy Ghost told them, sow that into the building program at Jamestown. They knew the Holy Ghost. The pastor didn't tell them. If I ever stand up and tell you a certain amount you have to give, beware. Amen? Always follow your heart, what God said. But they told them, sow the 14 grand. Now let me tell you, how many of you would have said, absolutely, here it is. The down payment for the house, to get out of a house with a handful of kids, they sold that. And you want to know what that family's turned into now? You should see the stinking house they live in. They were in poverty back then. Their business, they are on the verge of being millionaires. Millionaires. But why? It all started with obey. Obey. the breakthrough God wants to have for you if you'll just let that thing go and just forgive the unforgivable, right? The breakthrough God wants to have for you if you'll just do what he's told you to do. See, the way God moves is he'll tell you something, then he'll wait for you to do it, and then he'll tell you something else. Just like Abraham, he didn't give him the whole picture, did he? And let me help you with something, because we can get this book can get look very confusing at times. It can be like, well, where the heck do I even start? There's a whole lot in here. How am I going to be a doer of the word? God's not expecting you to be Jesus today. He's expecting you to progress and go that direction. But how it works is when you come to church faithfully, if you hear something that your life doesn't look like, that's when you make the adjustment. And every time you do that, you're burning off something bad that's holding you back. And you're growing and getting better in God. God's merciful. He's patient. He knows you're not going to all get it in one day. He's not looking for you to get it in all day. He's looking for us to work out our salvation, to go forward with him. Hallelujah. I'll tell you this. When the Lord told me to start a church in South Dayton, and I actually found out what that meant and what that looked like, I'll tell you something. There is about a million places I can think of better to start a church. But I'm here this morning, and I look at everybody here, I'm thinking, God knew what he was talking about. But I'll tell you what, my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, are you sure? I mean, I would rather, Lord, just chance it and do any, mini, miny, mo on a map, and then wherever I land, start a church rather than South Dayton. 600 people, especially when I'm told that the first amount of pay you're going to get is when the church grows and can pay for everything in the church, and then we'll give you a little bit left over. And so I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, that would be a lot better if I was in a church of 600,000 or a town of 600,000 people. I'm in a church of 600. But the Lord said to do it. And I said, I know you too well. You would never tell me to do something to hurt or to hurt my life, but to help me. Glory to God. He's so faithful, isn't he? There is a gentleman right now. Pastor Tim and Pastor Michael have a Bible school at the Jamestown Church, and it's a ministry training school on Monday evenings for 3 hours. There's a gentleman that used to be under, I used to be their pastor. He should be in that Bible school right now. And the Holy Ghost, when I was, again, I was actually on a walk this time with Caleb. He spoke to me three specific things about this gentleman. And I spoke those out in a Wednesday night service, this was years ago, to this person. Tears, because God called him the same exact thing. And he should be on his way to pastoring a family church. And down there at that Bible school. Well, his dad got a little bit squirrely in the word and got off on some things, got really offended, and left. And this gentleman who was old enough to not have to obey his dad anymore. Now, he was supposed to honor, you're supposed to honor your parents all the days of your life, but he didn't have to obey him anymore. But he was so afraid of his daddy. His daddy started steering him wrong. And he started getting off track. And just to get away from his daddy, I had over a two-hour conversation with him saying, you know the word. You have to obey God. You don't obey your family member. You don't obey what your dad's saying anymore. Your dad's trying to steer you off the word. You know what the word is. This isn't anything but the word of God. And he sat there and he said, I know it. Well, you know what that person ended up doing? They're gone now. Ended up going and marrying someone, living in the Midwest at a church that is deader than a doornail. They should be pastoring a word and spirit church going forward. I knew it by the Holy Ghost. They knew it by the Holy Ghost. But so afraid and so fearful that just to even get away went and disobeyed God. Yeah, it absolutely happened. Not obeying the voice of God. And now everything, that course that God had him on, is this way now. Going this way. Yeah. And he admitted it to me. It's not something where he wasn't aware of it. He said, I am too afraid to tell my dad no. I said, well, you're going to have to stand before Jesus someday. You know what I basically told him? Pull your pants up and be a man. Your dad is not the God of your life. Pull your pants up and be a man and do what the word said. I just can't do that. I'm terrified. Now I had compassion for him. And I loved and loved and loved. Daddy had too much of a hold on him, but there it was, not obeying the voice of God. Listen, don't let family members steer you away. Don't let money steer you away. Don't let hobbies steer you away. You obey the voice of God. That's where your safety is. Amen? Go to Genesis 22, and we'll close on this. Hallelujah. Why do I point that out? Because of the danger. The danger. Yeah. Sad. It breaks my heart. It absolutely breaks my heart. Glory to God. You You know, when I tell stories like that, I don't sit here in pride and like, oh, I'm so happy. No, it makes me so sad to the verge of tears knowing what somebody's life was supposed to be. They knew it. They heard from God. They confirmed everything I said to them. They admitted to me and told me I just can't obey God. And I see that all the time with people. Pastor, I remember, the Bible talks about raising your hands in worship and blessing God by lifting your voice. And some of us are unfamiliar to that. And it takes us a while to renew our minds to that. I understand that. I had a person that the Lord told me, it was at the Jamestown Church, was saying, the reason that you're not getting your breakthrough is you won't praise me. Not me, but God. He's saying you won't praise me. Well, we know the Bible says there's powerful things to praise. They shouted in Jericho when the walls were up. Paul and Silas sang praises to God and shouted out loud while they were in prison. We know there's a scriptural precedence to that. And he said, I don't care, Pastor Mike, what the Bible says about praise and worship. I'm never going to do it. See, we think, oh, how could his financial blessing be attached to it? It has everything to do with it. How could the blessing of his kids? It has everything to do with it. You obey God's word fully when you hear it. You don't question it. But Genesis 22, I'm not going to read this whole story because it'll take forever. And I'm just going to kind of give you the back, excuse me, the backdrop of it. Genesis 22 and verse 1. Now we're going to read this. Genesis 22 and verse 1. It says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt. That word tempt, there's also the word test. Abraham. And he said unto him, now this is the word of God, the voice of God, said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. And he said, now listen to what he said to Abraham. Take your son, your only son Isaac. Now if that doesn't mean anything to you, this was the son that he promised him when he was 75, and by the time he was 100, it came through. And Sarah was 90, the Bible said her womb was dead, Abraham's body was shutting down, yet he had a blessed son in Isaac. And now God's saying, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'll tell you of. Don't tell me that wasn't hard. I'll tell you what, if God told that to me, it would certainly test me being a doer of the word. So God here is telling Abraham, his name was changed from Abram to Abraham, take your son, the one I promised you, the one you waited 25 years for and had by a miracle birth, take him on a mountain and offer him there as the burnt offering. Translation, he's the one that's going to be burning on the offering. Well, what does it say in verse 3? And Abraham questioned God. And Abraham fretted. And Abraham worried. And Abraham wondered, how could I do this? No, Abraham rose up in the morning and went. He did it. You know why? He had a revelation that no matter what you're telling me, God, it can't be bad because you're only good. You're only love. So he knew one of two things. In Hebrews, it talks about this. He knew one of two things. Either there's going to have to be another thing, another sacrifice that's going to show up at the last minute, or I'm going to follow through, I'm going to kill my son, and God is going to have to raise him from the dead. He knew that. He already promised him that this would be the son that the blessings would come through. And now God's telling him to kill him, but he trusted God so much. It's like the Lord tells you, bring a tithe. You say, Lord, I need that 10%. No, you don't understand. You need to give that more than you need that 10%. Like, you can't afford not to tithe. Let me just say it that way. Like, the blessing is that. That's how good it really is. It is that awesome. It is that great. And people question it, and they worry about it. Don't question it. Just do the word of God. Just forgive that person. Doesn't mean you're not wrong. Doesn't mean you weren't wrong. Doesn't mean you're not justified for feeling that way. Doesn't mean they absolutely did you the wrong way. But listen, just forgive them and let it go. That person's unlovable. I can't walk in love. How do you expect me to? Jesus said, you owe every man to love them. Every man deserves your love and the opportunity to honor them. I can't honor them. I can't love them. They're so this way. No, just do it because the Bible says so. Just do it. Right? This should have a big old swoosh on the front. Just do it. Nike. Just do it. The word. Amen. That's why I said this is the foundation. If I could get people just to sell out to the fact of just doing the word. Let me before I tell you the rest of this story, tell you just a real quick thing. If you were to get into my life and to jump into a time machine and see my life from 2002 up until now, you would see some really heavyweight trials come on. And you've all been through heavyweight trials, but some of the heavyweight trials I went through would make your eyes go like that and hair stand up and just, it would be frightening to the flesh. And you'd see the victories that come out of those things. And you'd see the power, that you'd see the increase from the time we got hooked up with God. And then you'd also see times where I was slow to obey, or I didn't obey, And I had to, and I went off the wrong course, and you'd see my life suffer for it. And you'd see my life hurt, but you'd see every time that I did the Word of God, you'd see victories. Victory has been the mark of my life since 2002 and getting born again. I'm talking about huge Red Sea type impossible things happening by doing God. But let me also say this, and I said this last night, and I don't mind saying it. The Bible says I'm to be an example to you, right? Now, I always tell you the stupid things I do, right? I'm always telling you what a goofball I am and how I'm so thankful for mercy because I need it all the time. But you know what you'd see in the mark of my life and my family's life? God is not an option. Doing the Word is not optional in my family. Going to church is not optional in my family. Church is not bingo. Church is not, you know, pool league at the rec hall. Church is the nucleus, the center of my life, and everything else falls around it. My family knows, you want to see me at a family event? Do not schedule it on a Sunday morning. Do not schedule it on a Saturday night. I will not be there ever. Why? God is number one. All, now again, don't get into the ditch. Say something came up, a family reunion out of town, I left, pastor's mad. God hates me. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the mindset that God is an option. We're not talking about things come up. Listen, things come up in my life. I'm not talking about that. Do we understand that? Can we get that? Because people run out of here and say, pastor's saying, if I'm not there 52 straight weeks, you know, I can never miss. My life's over. No, that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about the attitude that God is number one. Why? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. It only does you good to seek him first. Praise God. So don't get into the ditch that says that. I'm talking about that mindset that, you know, it's nice out there and the golf course looks good. You know, that's not putting God first. It just isn't. I mean, I'm sorry to tell you that. But anyways, Genesis 22, 1 through 18, three things I want to point out to you that will be a blessing that Abraham did, and then we'll close. Number one, he trusted God no matter what. You see, because he did this. He went and offered him, and he was about to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord appeared and said, don't do that. There's a ram over in the thicket. He'll be used for the sacrifice. But he was ready. He was willing to do it. Trust God no matter what. Number two, he learned a new aspect of God that would cause his faith to grow. What do you mean by that? Verse 14. He learned a new aspect of God that caused his faith to grow. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. That word Jehovah Jireh means the Lord who provides. All of a sudden, Abraham learned something different about God. See, when you do something that God tells you to do, if you see the Word tells you to forgive, and you're in a position, and you forgive, you watch a blessing come your way. You watch. You don't believe in tithing. You start tithing faithfully. You'll start seeing things change in your finances. And what that does is it puts a notch in your faith belt. Just like when David, remember when David said, when he stood to the giant, he said, the same God that delivered me from the lion, the same God that delivered me from the bear will deliver me from this giant. And that's what happens. When you obey God, you get built up and you get a notch in your faith belt because you'll see something good happen from that obedience to the Word. Number three, I told you we're going through these quick. And this is the one I want to wake everybody up and shake them. You know what's one of the nastiest qualities people have and just gross? Selfishness. I mean, it's rampant in America. It's rampant in the body of Christ. Everything's about me. Everything's about what I can get. What can I attain in this life? What's going to happen for me? And look at what it says here in Genesis 22 in verse 16. And we'll close with this. And said, this is the Lord speaking to him, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, for because you have done this thing, what thing? He tells you, not withheld your son, your only son. Because you didn't withhold him. Because you could say it this way, because you obeyed my voice. Because you obeyed the Word. Now look at this. Blessing, I will bless you. Yes, it will affect your life to do the Word. It will only make your life better. Blessing, I'll bless you. And multiplying, I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. And at the sand, which is upon the seashore, now notice this. And your seed shall possess, not be overtaken, not be defeated, not be destroyed. Your seed, because you obeyed the Word of God, will possess the gate of his enemies. I speak that over my children all the time. Now, they probably aren't going to have to go into battle, but there's enemies out there that are going to try to keep them from the blessings that they have. I say, oh no, you possess what's yours because daddy did it right. See, you don't understand that not only does it affect you, your life is attached to people. It's attached to your children. It's attached to your family. It's attached to the people that are waiting for you 5 years down the road to make sure that you're in the plan of God, because God's lining up the chess pieces. He's put them there for you to hit this person and to be the only Jesus that comes in their life, to spare them and save them from hell. Maybe get the next Billy Graham born again, who's going to go out and get millions saved, all because you are faithful, all because you did the word of God. Verse 18, and in your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. And I'll say this in closing. It happened on the walk with my dog, and it happened in service last night, and it happened again this morning. As I preach this, and the Lord said, when you preach this message, there will be people in the service. You are, when I preach this message, in your heart, you have this desire to once and for all just dive in with God. And in this service this morning, it came up in my heart that there are people, as I preach this, that encourages them to say, listen, it's time to stop playing patty cake. It's time to stop playing footsie with the things of God. It's time to stop doing one foot in, one foot out. And you have this desire in you to just go for it. Just once and for all, just go for it. Whether it's tithing, whether it's church attendance, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's this, whether it's that, whatever it is, you have that desire in you. Don't let that go. Charge forward with that thing. Mediocrity will not get you all the blessings of God. God has such a good place for you, a wonderful place for you. He's waiting for your cooperation. So many people are dilly-dallying around, and as I preach this, I know in my spirit there's people that just want to go forward. Obey that. Give it to him. Amen? And let this day be the day that you start being a doer of his word. If he tells you to do it, do it. If the word says to do it, just do it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Lord, when we understand how good you are, and when we get to a place of trusting you, we're not afraid when you tell us to do something. Because number one, you're only ever going to lead us into good things, so whatever you're telling us to do is just a path into something wonderful. But also, Father God, you'd never lead us into something that would harm us, ever, Father. It's not just the fact that we'll just be okay. You're leading us into something that's going to make us that much better, increase us that much more. Father, we glorify you this morning. Lord, I pray that everybody's eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would be encouraged to, Father, once and for all, to finally make the plunge, to just dive in. Lord, people's finances are on the line. People's children are on the line. We don't understand how, we need help us to understand this, Father, because we don't understand how valuable and how vital we are to other people. Not only our own lives and the people around us that we love, but so many people depend on us. So many people need what we got. We have the answer that people need. So, Father, I thank you that people, today's going to be a change. And, Lord, that we're going to endeavor to be doers of the word. Doesn't mean we have to get everything right today. Doesn't mean we're going to be perfect walking out of here. You're not looking for that. You're looking for effort. You're looking for not neutral. You're not looking for backwards. You're looking for someone that will go forward and progress in the things of God. So, Father, we endeavor to be those people today and to start to make changes in our life in areas that we know are not being doers of the word. And I speak that by faith for everybody in here. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. If I could have heads bowed and eyes closed, we do have a live stream audience. Obviously, I have no idea who all the people are that are listening. Ask yourself this question if you can hear my voice. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. See, that's a question I don't really want to think about. Well, there's a whole lot of people, if you look in the obituaries, that never thought they'd have to that question would become a reality. It seems so far off in the distance, but it happens every single day. Ask yourself that question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Well, the Bible says if you accept Jesus, the free gift of salvation, if you believe he died and rose again, you're a candidate for heaven. You don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to give any money. You just have to believe Jesus was, that he died, and that he rose, and you can accept him and get into everlasting life. Is there anyone here with heads bowed and eyes closed that you want to receive Jesus? If so, would you just lift your hand in the air? If you've never accepted him, I don't know everybody personally. Would you just raise your hand? Anybody? Lord, I don't see any hands, but who knows who's listening by live stream or who will listen by future. If people are giving out these, if they make CDs and give them away, Father, or if somebody logs on, happens to find the website. If you're listening and you want to receive Jesus, it's simple. Just cry out to him and say, Lord, I believe. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again, and I ask you to come into my heart. And then thank him for saving you. He's got such a good life for you. Father, we glorify you. We magnify you. We praise you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, this is on my heart to do this. If you're here and you're that one of those people, nobody's looking around, and you're one of those people that you're done. You're done with the mediocrity. You're done with the dilly-dallying. You know you're disobeying the Word of God, but fear has gripped you. And you want to say, enough is enough. I want to dive in with God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you just raise your hand if that's you? I see those hands. I see them. You can put them down. Thank you for your boldness. And the reason I do that is because that helps people take ownership of it. It's not to embarrass you. Listen, I'm always coming before God and renewing my vows, so to speak, to Him. And saying, Lord, I want to do better. That's not to embarrass you. I see that hand. You can put it down. There's more. I know there's more in my heart. Is there anybody else that want? If you haven't, I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. Praise God. Just make up your mind right now. But Lord, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Everybody, if you raised your hand, repeat this after me. But even if you didn't, let's all right now reconsecrate our lives to Him. Amen. Let's all just give it away to Him. I'm going to put a song on. And I just encourage you, whether or not you need to rededicate, whatever it is, tell Him you're sorry and tell Him, today I endeavor. Doesn't mean you have to figure it all out right now, but just endeavor to go forward with Him. I'm going to put on a song real quick and just play it. He loves you so much. Praise God. I got to find it here. Let's see here. Hallelujah. He's faithful, isn't He? Never regret.
Perfect in love, Lord, you came to earth, you rescued me. You took my place upon that cross. The stains that held me back were washed away. You made me whole. Your love that set the broken captives free. Your love released the chains once binding me. I'm found in grace, in love's embrace. My heart is overwhelmed.
Yes, I need help. I don't understand. Just come talk to me. I'll tell you how to get on board.
I stand redeemed. Your Spirit now alive within my heart. I walk with you all of my days. I shall live to glorify you, God. Hear my soul rejoice. Your love has set the broken captives free. Your love released the chains once binding me. I'm found in grace, in love's embrace. My heart is overwhelmed. Sings my soul of how you love who set me free. Sings my heart of how your mercy rescued me. My cry of endless love to my Savior and to my King. My heart is overwhelmed. Sings my soul of how your love has set me free. Sings sings my heart of how your mercy rescued me. My cry of endless love to my Savior and to my King. My heart is overwhelmed.
Father, we just love you this morning, Lord. We just endeavor to make this day the first day of our lives, where we endeavor to trust you and to believe you and to go forward. And Father, I thank you that you're not mad at anyone.
I woke up in darkness, surrounded by silence. Oh, where have I gone? I woke to reality.